Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Chilling Coven, a Sabrina podcast. I'm your host, EJ Leeson, and with me today are the two greatest guys I know in the whole world. First up, Airhorn Jones. Ross, what's up, buddy?
What's up, Airhorn?
Ross Airhorn Coltrane.
Airhorn Coltrane Jones.
Right. Yes. And nothing new this week, right?
Nah, nothing new. I'm going to see a Clint Eastwood movie this week with you, and I can't wait.
Yeah, man, I'm pretty pumped myself.
Thanks for the invite.
No, so, you could come. I was just saying.
Don't invite him. Just let it go.
Because of all three of us in this room, I am the biggest Clint Eastwood fan by a long margin.
Without an introduction, that's Chris talking about Clint Eastwood, claiming he's the best and
the
most,
biggest fan.
The biggest fan of Clint Eastwood.
No, that's a fact. That's not a claim. Of the people in this room, anyway, I am the biggest fan.
Do you have a tattoo of him?
No, do you?
No. But, How do you know you're the biggest fan?
What I do have. Yeah. How do I know? I have all of his movies with the man with no name.
I have those too.
Oh, do you? Let's go see them.
All right. Do you want me to go get them?
Yeah, I want you to go get them here.
EJ is going to walk upstairs and go get all of them.
He's walking down to get all of them here. So I expect to see Pale Rider. I expect to see
A Fistful of Dollars.
A Fistful of Dollars, yeah. I expect to see A Few Dollars More.
Yeah.
I expect to see The Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah.
I expect to see that you'll have VHSs of them all, like I do.
Yeah. And he has DVD.
And I also expect to see all the Blu-rays of them, which I also own. Also, I want to see The Good, Bad, and the Ugly soundtrack, which I do have as well.
I don't think he has that.
You said the soundtrack. You're not talking about Clint Eastwood movies.
No, hey, it has to deal with them. Oh, look, we have... Okay, so we do have A Fistful of Dollars for A Few Dollars More. We have The Good and Bad and the Ugly. And that is not one of them.
Oh, no, I grabbed the wrong one.
That is definitely not one of them. Well... While he is looking for that.
Yeah.
Oh, no, let's just get to the show.
All right, let's just get to the show. So we're just going to go on here with the premise that I am the best Clint Eastwood fan in this room.
For now.
Forever. All right, let's jump into it.
Hi. I got the intro going here. This episode is called An Exorcism in Greendale, Chapter 6. I was going to say Chapter 5. Chapter 6. It's written by Joshua Lunkel or Kunkel.
Kinkle? Harvey Kinkle?
Well, what is that? A C or is that an L?
It's a Kunkel.
Oh, Kunkel. Okay. What is it? What is Miss Kaufman?
It's MJ.
MJ Kaufman. Oh, okay. That was an
we
S.
got it on IMDb. It was Miss Kaufman. I assure you.
And it's directed by Rachel Talalay.
All right.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Great. Great job, Ross.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why I don't read these.
Well.
I don't have any notes for this.
This is why you don't read them, but this is why I read this.
Yeah. Right.
The show starts with Sabrina confronting Miss Wardwell. Sabrina suspects Wardwell as a witch.
Yeah.
She tells Sabrina that Edward, Sabrina's dad, has to keep an eye on Sabrina. Wardwell claims that she was a witch without a coven. Wardwell sought out Edward, and he asked her to keep an eye on Sabrina. Sabrina says to stay away.
Right. She's like, we are done.
Sabrina is talking to Ambrose about Wardwell. Ambrose suggests giving her the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. He's like, you know what? It was not so bad. She helped us out with Bat-A-Bat.
Yeah.
Got us free from that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, maybe
I love Ambrose in this episode. But I feel bad for him at the end.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
Harvey Kinkle is jamming out to music in his room.
Yeah.
When all of a sudden he gets a visit from Susie Putnam's Uncle Jesse.
Yeah. Yeah.
He looks possessed and calls Harvey gutless. Luckily, Tommy, Harvey's brother, walks in, and Uncle Jesse is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, he's, like, freaking out. He's like, oh, you gutless little prick.
Why is there all these needles outside the house in San Francisco?
Oh, no. Uncle Jesse.
Yeah. He looks like hell.
He's like nuts. Like, he looks crazy. Yes. Whoever did the makeup did a decent job with it.
Oh, did a really good job.
Oh, for sure.
So we cut to Roz, and she also gets a visit from the ghost of Uncle Jesse.
She drops the milk, the glass bottle of milk.
Yeah.
And finally, Susie Putnam gets a visit from the possessed Uncle Jesse as well.
Yeah.
She then checks his room, and he is tied to the bedpost sleeping.
Right. Yeah, we see his hands
and
his feet are all tied to the bedposts.
Yeah.
Hilda goes to get a job interview at Cerebus Bookstore and is basically hired on the spot.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, she's like, oh, I hope you don't mind if you hire me. And then it's a spun on Hilda.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, and then he's like, oh, I used to be a weatherman.
Like, I do like Svengoli.
Right.
He looks like Count Jocula or Count Dracula.
Right.
Count Dracula.
Dracula. I don't know. You know who looked like Frankenberry in this episode? Uncle Jesse.
Uncle Jesse.
Oh,
by the way, that's coming to our Easter eggs. Not really.
No.
So Aunt Zelda is with Blackwood, checking in on the baby and pregnancy.
Yeah.
We learn that this is their third attempt at having a baby.
Right.
So, obviously, it hasn't been successful thus far.
Right.
Roz, Susie, Harvey, and Sabrina talk about Uncle Jesse.
Yeah.
Harvey said that Jesse saw something in the mines, too.
Yeah.
They all reveal that Uncle Jesse has paid them each a visit.
And Sabrina doesn't believe him. She's like, oh, you just saw stuff. Like, you didn't really,
which is very reminiscent also of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right.
Which is... I feel like this whole thing is kind of like Nightmare on Elm Street a little bit here.
Because
we always keep talking about, oh, this reminds me of Nightmare on Elm Street. This reminds me of Nightmare on Elm Street. And sure enough, here's another episode. This reminds you of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Roberto is a big fan of that, I think.
Yeah, it's like a mixture of The Exorcist, right, with Jason Miller, and Nightmare on Elm Street with Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Robert Englund.
Harvey wishes Sabrina would believe him about what he saw, but Sabrina doesn't.
Yeah.
Nope, she does not.
Sabrina tells her aunties about the situation with Susie's Uncle Jesse, and there are a bunch of lemons on the table.
Oh, yeah, I want to talk about this.
And they're just making lemonade.
No, the stuff in the jars, it looks like lemon meringue. Like, I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I didn't know you were that upset about this.
I like lemon meringue pie, but I don't know why they have that much meringue. Are they a big fan of it? Like, do they love it?
Maybe they're making lemonade, man.
Maybe it's lemonade. Yeah.
When life hands you lemons.
You make lemonade.
But here's the thing.
Here's the
thing with lemonade.
All right.
There's a delicate touch to lemonade.
Yeah.
Because you can't have it be too sweet, but you can't have it be too bland.
Yeah.
So it's a perfect mixture. And a lot of times you don't find it. But when you find it, you're just like, oh.
We're getting in the lemonade now.
Lemonade.
We're getting in the lemonade now.
I think we're going to have to do an after show, and it's called Lemonade Talk. Chris could get really into a deep discussion about how to make lemonade.
Yes, and I should.
No, but what's really in the jar? It's like, it looks like lemon meringue.
Well, I mean, it's definitely lemon.
Oh.
Of all things going on in this episode, you're really focused on this lemonade.
Is that your whole page over there?
It's good.
I think he just has a whole page that says lemon.
It's like half of it, yeah.
So this was the big takeaway of this episode.
Because I have about 6 pages of notes on these lemons here.
Well, they love lemon. I don't know. They love lemon.
Oh,
so back to the after a lemon scene. Sabrina asks about astral projection to see Jesse and confirm if he's a demon. Sabrina tries to convince Ambrose, but he will not help her.
Yeah.
Pretty much says you're going to have to go alone on it on your own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Sabrina begins the process of astral projecting.
Yeah.
And she actually communicates with Jesse.
And then Salem comes in and tells Ambrose, and Ambrose goes and saves her. Yeah.
And we just skipped an entire huge scene, guys.
Skip over the Uncle Jesse.
We're just going to skip over that, what his name is.
And the reason why, Russ wants to go back to those lemons.
So we'll We'll skip how we'll skip how Jesse confirms that he's a demon. Yeah. How right. Sabrina tells the demon her name and tells him that her name is Marikai, which is the overlord of gluttony, which is funny because we find out later another thing, but I'm not going to get into that just because I'm about to get into it, because Brent Ambrose says he might be a demon.
Right.
And Ambrose figures out that the demon's name is Ice Cream Backwards.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like when he's like, Jesse's demon is a cheeky bastard.
Yeah. He says that.
He does say that. Yeah.
I love Ambrose.
So, yeah, it's kind of cool because the even before that, though, the demon does spit, like, all this stuff at Sabrina, and she starts kind of turning into that gagging. Demon. Yeah. She's, like, really gagging.
Yeah. And you see, it looks like something in her throat.
Yeah.
Kind of like, almost crawling, like his hands are, like, gripping around. Yeah. It's really creepy.
The next scene, Sabrina apologizes to Harvey about not believing him.
Mm-hmm.
She suggests going into the mines. Harvey says that he's going to go with her, and
Miss Wardwell.
Miss Wardwell's bird watches.
Yeah. We see where her raven is watching as this is going on. And then, oddly enough, when they're in the mine, who shows up? But
Yeah. So, that leads us into our next thing. Sabrina finds a rock carving of a serpent that's broken.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like a serpent anyway. And then, as EJ so astutely pointed out, that Miss Wardwell appears and says that these are very dangerous mines.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out that the stone is actually a trapping stone. Harvey screams and said he saw the creature, but Sabrina sees nothing.
Yeah.
As they leave, you see the creature in the background, that red demon creature, that red horn.
Oh, and I like when Sabrina's like, oh, Harvey, can you draw me a map? And he's like, this isn't from the Goonies.
I guess you're spot on with your Goonies reference earlier this year.
Yeah.
Oh my god. It all comes back.
It's all full circle.
It's all making all comes sense. Full circle. Oh my god.
He was on.
Yeah.
That might be because he watched the whole season.
Yeah, like I'm like, yeah. No, I didn't watch the whole thing, but
why'd that guy look like Goonies?
Close.
Not like
all the way. You at?
Episode 7.
What is this episode again?
Six. He's
Six.
Always on.
Why do you have to be one ahead of us every time?
But I forget. Like, I have to rewatch it because I forget what happened.
So you go right into the next
one. No, I rewatch it.
He's like, oh, I have to rewatch it. Oh, are we doing number 7 today? Well, I'll just watch that just in case.
Oh, my God.
So the Putnams go for help for Jesse. Susie gets mad because she overhears her dad saying that he once tried on a dress before.
Yeah, one time.
And Uncle Jesse, not Uncle the Jesse. Father, right?
Yeah.
Uncle Jesse. Her father.
Yeah.
Roz's vision is progressively getting worse.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sabrina finds out the demon's name is Apophis or Apophis?
Yeah.
Apophis.
It's Apophis.
Apophis, yeah.
She finds the serpent image in the stone, which is how she's able to pinpoint it.
Yeah.
Right.
Sabrina questions Blackwood in class if witches can perform exorcism. He says no, and then he tells the class that she tells the class that there is a demon that is possessing her friend's uncle.
Yeah.
Blackwood says he's a parasitic demon and will pretty much kill him quickly.
Yeah.
Right. And then move on to the next warm body.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whoever he came in contact with. Mm-hmm. Right.
So Blackwood says that the only way to get rid of it would be an exorcism through the Catholic faith.
Yeah.
Which they can't do.
Yeah.
Witches aren't allowed to do it. Nick Scratch, what we are calling Lion Nick at this point.
Yeah, Lion Nick Scratch, yeah.
Does what we have all said is the biggest telltale sign that he is the demon himself.
Right.
Which is, you're a rebel, Spellman. That's how I like my witches, which is eerily familiar of, was that Dark Baptism? At the end of Dark Baptism?
Yep, when the Dark Lord takes over Hawthorne. Mm-hmm. He's like, you're rebellious. I like that about you.
He's like, you're defiant.
That's good, right?
I like that. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's like, oh, you could have two boyfriends. And she's like, I already have a boyfriend. He's like, you could have two.
He's like, I don't mind sharing. I'm like, dude, get out of here. She's with Harvey.
He's like, yeah, sharing is caring. You got two lives.
Yeah, two schools.
Yeah, two schools. Yeah. And, you know, I'm single, you're kind of single.
Kinda, yeah. You know, not all the way, but kinda.
You could have two boyfriends. Why not? A mortal one and a warlock one.
Right. Yeah. And he's like, I don't mind sharing. I'm like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Like, we know you're Satan. Get out of here.
Just yeah, leave. Lion Nick.
Just leave.
We know.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
And then in a pretty cool twist, Zelda and Hilda await Sabrina with an extra guest, Miss Wardwell.
Yeah.
Sabrina says that because the witches won't help her, she will literally go to the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Wardwell says that she has a copy of an exorcism that her father wrote. Zelda won't allow Sabrina to do it, though, but Wardwell and Hilda decide that they will go with her to do it. And Edward's rite revolves around the power of the witch, as opposed to, like, the power of the god, the power of the word.
Mm-hmm.
Edward's spell revolves around that power of the witch. Then they go to the Putnam's house. Zelda says that these two witches will get her killed, and Ambrose suggests she help.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where we bring into...
Me.
Yeah, you. You coined this the last time. The Zelda zinger of the episode.
Ding, yeah, the ding, zinger. Ding, ding,
ding. Okay.
The Zelda zinger.
Where's the Zelda zinger?
Yeah.
All right, so the Zelda zinger of the episode... She calls Wardwell a spinster schoolmarm and Hilda a British batwit.
Batwit.
A batwit. I love Zelda.
Yeah. So, I love her. So, she's like easily my favorite.
Yeah.
Out of the eight. Like, I love Aunt Hilda and Aunt Zelda, but they're like for different reasons. I don't know.
They work well. I like the whole cast for different reasons.
Right.
Like they're all good in their own way.
Yeah. Even Nick Scratch, he's like such a good actor for the little he's been on so far. He's really good. Very captivating.
Yeah.
Good casting for the devil.
I agree.
And once again in this episode, I love Ambrose's style. His robe is crazy. It's very
reminiscent of the 90s The Rock.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He used
to come out in those, like, things.
Like, leopard. For the millions and millions of witches watching around the world. Do you smell what the Ambrose is cooking?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, I enjoyed that.
Okay.
Sabrina enters the room with Hilda and Miss Wardwell. They start doing the exorcism, but it's not working. Zelda comes in and helps them.
Yeah.
Jesse throws up this ugly-looking worm.
Yeah.
Wardwell throws it in a well, and we find out that Sabrina is grounded, in which Sabrina protests this. But Zelda has a point. Blackwood is waiting, which... We're told that he is waiting there because he had an inkling that they were going to do a unauthorized exorcism.
Yeah.
So he's ticked off. But Zelda says that Father Blackwood is, his wife is expecting twins, which he is, of course, delighted to hear. Ambrose does not have hope that Blackwood will commute a sentence.
Yeah. I feel bad for Ambrose at the end of this episode.
I do too. But then they find out that Jesse Putnam has actually died.
Yeah.
Hilda runs into Luke at Cerebus's books.
Yeah.
And she dumps Amor, which is love, into his drink.
Into Luke's drink, yeah.
Yeah. Wardwell says Sabrina brought Jesse peace. Then we get a scene where it actually shows Wardwell is actually the one that killed Jesse.
Yeah.
And she has this doll of Jesse, and we've seen her dolls before. And she essentially crushes it. And it's like this like really crazy thing, because it's like you hear like all these bones kind of breaking, and it's just like,
shh. Yeah, she's like crushing it with her hands, just squeezing like the doll. And you just start to hear his bones crushing. She does it in such a sweet way. She's like, and your poor little heart can't handle it.
Yeah.
And
you're like,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But Sabrina is crying. She feels like she has failed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She asks Wardwell, how will she ever outwit the Dark Lord? And then we get the... wonderful look by Michelle Gomez, Miss Wardwell.
Yeah.
And she just looks at her like, why is Sabrina? whatever do you mean?
Yeah.
And that is the end of the episode.
Yes. What do you think of this episode?
I liked it a lot. I thought that it was I thought it was a really good episode. I think that Zelda was one of the best parts of it. Miss Wardwell, Michelle Gomez, I know we always say it all the time. I think she's fantastic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She does steal the episode.
Yeah.
I don't even think that's a room for discussion.
No, I totally agree. I feel like she's so good. I feel like this episode was really good. I know the friends are in it a little bit.
Yeah.
But, man, I don't know. I feel like Wardwell.
Ambrose.
Zelda, Hilda, they really do steal the show, you know?
And I feel like Ambrose was really good in this episode.
Yeah, I do too. What did you think of this episode, Ross?
I thought it was really good. I thought it was good, and I liked how short it was too. You know, it wasn't like an hour episode. It was only like 47 minutes.
Right.
So it was perfect like time limit. You know.
Yeah. It was on the shorter side, but there's so many cool things which I'm about to go into right now and talk about these Easter eggs.
Go ahead.
So hit us up with those Easter eggs now. We're right. Waiting.
Yeah, okay, so...
Let's go.
First up, well, some Easter eggs we haven't found here. For your Sabrina soundtrack, I got a song that Harvey Kinkle's listening to in his bedroom when he is listening on his headphones.
Yeah.
It is Sold by Lily. The album, interesting enough, has a goat-faced man... like wearing a mask, that's very similar to the Dark Lord's appearance in the show.
Yeah.
Then we have where in that same scene, Harvey is wearing a cutoff T-shirt with the number 10, similar to what Glenn is wearing in A Nightmare on Elm Street, starring Johnny Depp and Heather Langenkamp, Robert Englund.
Yeah.
Right when he's about to die.
Right, and Glenn is listening on his headphones, just like. Harvey is here. Then we have where Roz drops her milk and it looks like maggots.
Yeah.
Now, this is possibly a reference to Lost Boys when Michael drops his rice after thinking they were maggots. He's like, what about that rice, Michael? And he's like, oh. And then he's like, oh, I thought they were maggots. Anyways, little thing to notice. Uncle Jesse is tied to the bedpost like Reagan in... The Exorcist. Then we have where Hilda mentions a few names when she's being interviewed for her job.
Yeah.
She talks about Svengoolie, Count Gore Duval, and Vampyra. Now, Svengoolie is a horror host. Yeah. He kind of looks like a witch doctor. Yeah, he's still on air. He's like one of the very last ones doing
it. Famous for getting rubber chickens thrown at him.
Right.
He is, but his comedy is so lame. It's supposed to be, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's going for that.
Yeah, he's definitely going for lame comedy, but I mean, it really, I watch it. It airs on Saturdays here. I watch it.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, an interesting thing, when Sabrina, Miss Wardwell, and Hilda are leaving the Spellman house, the shot pulls out to reveal a multicolored skylight in the sitting room.
Yeah.
Now, the pattern of the skylight is the same pattern that features in the movie Suspiria, which is also about witchcraft. It's a 1977 film. When Zelda says, what have I done to deserve these women in my life? And Ambrose replies, lucky, I suppose. This could be a nod to Hocus Pocus when Winifred Sanderson asks why she's cursed with such idiot sisters, and Sarah gives the same reply.
I like Hocus Pocus. That's a good movie.
I do too. I think it's a really good, very underrated.
Yeah.
When Sabrina confronts Uncle Jesse in spectral form, he discovers she is not actually physically there and says, how rude. Now, obviously, if you guys always joke about it, but... Uncle Jesse is also the same name of a character from the sitcom Full House.
Yeah.
And he often uses that phrase.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did take something from Full House. I was right.
We were right.
I was right.
Now, Now, there is one other thing I'd like to talk about really quick. Now, Newman the Great is a poster we see in the, like, the bookstore.
Yeah.
And he was a famous magician. And we also see posters for Night of the Lepus again, From Beyond the Grave, another film, and Todd Browning's Freaks, which we've talked about before. Also, we see posters for Carter the Great, and underneath it says, condemned to death for witchcraft, cheats the gallows. Now, he was an American magician known for sawing a woman in half. And, fun fact, he was from Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Another famous magician from Pennsylvania is Harvey Keller. Now we see a sign in the background. It says self-decapitation. And then you see Keller a little bit. We had to do a little research into it just to figure out who it was and everything. But this he is also from Erie, Pennsylvania. Now we see where Zelda says, Mephistopheles, save us. Now that is another name for the devil. Ambrose has a poster for the film Haxan, just like Sabrina does, and a poster for the movie Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. Now, that is a film starring Bette Davis and Joan Crawford, and he actually, in, I believe, the first or second episode, calls both of his aunts Baby Jane, and I forget what, he uses a different thing, but obviously he's a fan of this movie. Mm-hmm. Now we have The Fearless Vampire Killers. It's another poster in Ambrose's room. It's a parody slash comedy by Roman Polanski about vampire hunters in Europe. Harvey mentions The Goonies, a film about young explorers looking for treasure, which Ross tends to bring up in every episode.
Yeah.
and then when they approach the Putnam House, the lighting and scene is pretty identical to the movie.
The Exorcist.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I thought was super cool. And then, finally, we see at the bookstore when Hilda sees Luke. Yeah. She is, behind her, we see a bunch of posters for the film Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And I think that's the John Barrymore version.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
I believe, I could be wrong. But that is all the Easter eggs I found in this episode.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool Easter eggs, yeah.
Yeah, there were.
Yeah.
I love that Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, they seem to do a reference to it almost every show. We're sitting here talking about Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, right. That comes up a lot, yeah.
I mean, I would talk about it any day, too, so. doesn't bother me too much.
And then, I forgot one. A poster in Harvey's bedroom features the cover art for Madhouse, number 96, a horror comic published in 1974 by Archie Comics under its Red Circle label.
Yeah.
The cover features a woman standing in front of a demonic Satan for the story Demon Kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is, like, one thing I just wanted to point out because it's pretty important. All
right. We have any cool witches notes?
Yeah, we have any notes?
Yes, we do. Hold on 1 second, let me get them out.
Okay, I guess I will take it over then. I guess it's about time, right? Okay, so when Sabrina tells the aunts about her friends being visited by the possessed Uncle Jesse, Hilda is making lemonade. Now, lemons are used in spells for purification and friendship. The Latin that Ambrose uses to bring Sabrina back from the astral projection is Liberante Tutami Ex Fuga Sabrina, or roughly translated, Liberate Yourself from the Flight, Sabrina. Harvey has a poster in his room of Miss Baldwin, the modern witch of Endor. Apophis is the name of an ancient Egyptian spirit of evil, darkness, and destruction. The name that are summoned during the exorcism are as follows. Lilith. In the Babylonian Talmud, she is Adam's first wife, known as the mother of demons. Aradia is an Etruscan witch, Aradia, or the Gospel of the Witches is a book composed by the American folklorist Charles Godfrey Leland that was published in 1899. Morgan Le Fay is an enchantress of Arthurian legend. Black Annis is a boogeyman in English folklore, a witch with iron claws. Anne Boleyn, second wife of Henry VII of England, accused of being a witch by her political opponents. The Witch of Endor, in the Hebrew Bible, she was a witch who saw the spirit of Samuel and comfort Saul. Hecate, goddess of witches in Greek mythology, she also appears in Tom Middleton's play The Witch. Artemis or Artemis is a Greek goddess of the hunt and chastity. Luna is a divine embodiment of the moon in ancient Roman mythology. Hildegard of Bingen is a medieval saint, prophetess, and mystic. Marie Laveau is the voodoo queen of New Orleans. Tituba was actually the first witch in the Salem witch trials, also featured in The Crucible. Mary Bradbury is actually hung as a witch in Salem in 1692. Naaman is an Irish goddess who personified the frenzied havoc of war. Bodb is an Irish war goddess who takes the form of a crow. Macha is a sovereignty goddess of ancient Ireland. Circe is a Greek goddess of magic. Maldire is accused witch in 17th century. Leonardtown, MD. I'm guessing Maryland. Juventas the Virgin, or Juventus the Virgin, is a Roman goddess of youth and rejuvenation. June the Mother is a Roman goddess of marriage, wife of Jupiter. And Sybil Leake is an English witch, astrologer, occult author, and self-proclaimed psychic.
Oh, okay, so Ross, do you have anything to plug?
Yeah, you can email us at chillingcoven@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we're at chillingcoven. I don't know, that's about it.
Well, we're going to be doing our finale from Salem.
Yeah.
We're hoping to.
Yeah, and it's going to be super cool. I hope you guys love that
episode. We can't wait for that, yeah.
And we are all looking forward to it.
Yeah, and we have to do a special thanks to The Infatuation for sponsoring our show. The money that we get from that, we're going to put towards either getting microphones for the show, but first we're going to try to hopefully help us with the trip down, up to Salem.
Up. And also, I got some reviews on Applecast, and I would like to read them for you guys. Is that cool?
Yeah, I haven't seen them.
Okay. So this is, this one says, excellent. I really enjoyed the breakdown, boys. I look forward to hearing more. This one says, this podcast is amazing. These guys are really good. If you haven't listened to this podcast yet and you're a fan of Sabrina, check it out ASAP. You will love it. The next one from CreedFan89 says, good. I enjoyed the shot-by-shot breakdown. Can't wait to hear another one. This one is called Deep Throat the Coven. 5 stars, thank you. She turned me into a newt. Well, thank you, and hopefully you get changed back. Next is from Number One Betty Fan. Love it. Super excited for the show and podcast. River Dudes is amazing. Looking forward to this as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is from Pumpkin Coven. 5 stars. 5-star podcast. Sabrina is a queen. Yes, she is.
Yes, she is.
And finally, we got this from Margot Dahl. 5 stars. If you love Sabrina like I do, this is the podcast for you. They break down each episode and fill in so much detail about all the things I totally overlooked. They have an actual practicing witch who details all the witchcraft and lore practices in the show, and their Easter eggs are out of this world. They have a keen eye for details. This is definitely the most in-depth podcast talking about the chilling tales of Sabrina. Thank you, Margot Dahl.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for that.
And guys, if you want, feel free to rate and review us on iTunes.
Yeah,
we please. Much appreciate it. And we'll definitely read your review online. So even if it's a bad one, I guess we'll read it.
Yeah, we will. But hey, if you know if you have any friends or family members or friend to friends or even somebody that you barely talk to that might just post something on social media saying that they might like the show The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, definitely do yourself a favor and recommend us.
Yeah,
you might become their new best friend.
Yeah, recommend us, yep.
Or they'll hate you for trying to do that. No,
or one of them. There's probably no in-between. It's going to be either that or the other one.
There's no gray area.
We hope it's love, yeah.
Right. We hope it's love. That's all we want. So with that being said, guys, I guess all I can say is
time to fly!
Welcome to Chris's Lemonade Stand. Oh, you thought we were joking about a lemonade review show after The Chilling Coven? Well, we got another thing coming for you. In fact, this might be an every show occurrence. So what we have prepared for you is two separate lemonades in which EJ and I will review. The first is Minute Maid Lemonade. On our wonderful search for the perfect lemonade. What's the other one?
Well, today we are trying the All Natural Simply Lemonade. It's not from concentrate. It's 120 calories per 8 fluid ounces serving. It looks delicious. It's freshly made. Mm. It says a shake well.
And this does say made with real lemons on the Minute Maid.
Oh, interesting.
Does that also say made with real lemons?
It looks like it says a fresh taste guaranteed. And if you want, you can call in and talk to them about it. But it says it contains pure filtered water, lemon juice, cane sugar, natural flavors.
Okay, let's jump on in here. So the first one we're going to try is going to be Minute Maid.
All right.
Yeah, you shake that one over there. All right, ready?
Yes.
All right. Let's see what Minute Maid has in store for us. Cheers. Definitely on the really sweet side.
Wow. Really sweet.
See, this is what I'm trying to tell you. There's a perfect balance to lemonade, and Minute Maid did not find it.
That is super sweet. I feel like my teeth just rotted right out.
It's not even the bitterness of the lemon. It's just like they were like, huh, you see all that sugar? Wouldn't it be a shame if we dumped the whole bag in here?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know if I could drink any more of this. All right. I would say it's
on a scale of 1 to 10. If 0 was bland, 10 is sweet, and 5 is the number that you want to get to, that perfect center. This is definitely on the 9 bordering on 10.
It is. I'm going to go with.
On the sweetness scale, it is 10 is so, super sweet.
It's super sweet.
0 is bland.
And very bitter.
Very bitter.
Maybe too much lemon juice.
I don't know that it's definitely the sweetness of it.
Oh, man.
It's too sweet.
Yeah. Okay, so.
All right, let's try the Simply Lemonade.
All right, so we're trying the All Natural Simply Lemonade. Just gotta open the top here. It says, use after 7 days after opening.
Perfect. Okay. Have just opened this.
All right. Now, I did shake it up a little bit, so. Here you go, sir. Ross is going to be so mad.
Yeah, he's going to be really mad that he missed out. All right.
So, this is some good lemonade.
Cheers.
Definitely better.
Definitely better.
Yeah. I would definitely recommend this. Just from one sip, I'm like, yeah.
It's not the perfect blend. It's still a little too sweet.
But definitely.
Much better than Minute Maid.
Way better.
This is definitely more along, I would say, the 7 lines.
Yeah.
I'd say around 7. Like, it's not. It could use a little less of, I'm guessing, the sugar.
Right.
Which, yeah, 28 grams of sugar.
Right, yeah.
So what the hell does this one have? This one's got 67, so we're right in line here of what.
Yeah.
So this has got a little bit too much sugar. Very low sodium, so what they take out for the sodium, they make up with the sugar.
Right.
So it's not the perfect blend. So we haven't found the perfect blend yet, but I would give this around a 7 on the sweet side. Not rating it a 7, but if our scale is 0, bland, 10, sweet, I would say that this is right around a 7.
And I would say, if asked, hey, what kind of lemonade am I, should I be, like, drinking today? I'm up for that lemonade.
Between these two.
Yeah, I would go Simply Lemonade.
Me too. I would say, if someone was like, hey, you know, I'm thinking about getting lemonade, and my choices are Simply Lemonade and Minute Maid, I would say, well, are you a diabetic? And if they said no, I would say, well, you might be after Minute Maid. So maybe you should go with Simply Lemonade.
I know. We're going to have to get your insulin right after this.
I might have to. I might have to.
No, it is Simply Lemonade. I was having a very hard time drinking the rest of that Minute Maid.
Oh, yeah. It was brutal.
Where this is actually enjoyable, and I would definitely recommend this more.
Me too. And with that, we just want to say thank you for listening to Chris's Lemonade Stand.
Cheers. When life hands you a lemon, make lemonade.
Or that. And cheers.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.